Tweet at Today SOR.
Time now to look back at the weekend in sport. I'm joined in studio by a very happy Cork woman, Sarah O'Donovan, an All-Ireland Camogie winner with her county. Also here, Colm Keyes, GAA correspondent with the Irish Independent, and our regular panellist, Damien Lawler. Good morning to you all. We're not going to talk about Cork first. You, Colm, you were in Newry for quite an epic Ulster Football Championship match.
Yes, Sean, I went on and on and on and on, and eventually Kieran McGeaney got his first Ulster Championship win as Armagh manager. He's lost four first-round games, quarter-final games, over the last 4 years, and there was a lot of pressure on him. There was a lot of pressure on the team because this is Newry, their neighbouring counties. There's a long rivalry. They hadn't won in Newry, I think, for 60-odd years, for something like that. And they played like a team under that pressure because they won the game, then they nearly lost it. Then they went and won it again in extra time and then nearly lost it. And they needed a guy called Andrew Murnan to come off the bench, very talented player, to come off the bench and score 1-1 with his first two touches deep into extra time. So really they were the better team, but they made very hard work of it, and they really made their manager work so hard for it, because his record in provincial championships, even with Kildare, wasn't very good. They lost to Wicklow.
But he's one tough piece of goods. I mean, he was the Armagh captain, wasn't he?
He was the Armagh captain in 2002 and has a very good qualifier record with Kildare and indeed Armagh. But he could be in a bit of trouble because the Sunday game showed him colliding with one of the down players last night. So that could draw the attention of the disciplinary body in Croke Park. I don't know.
Maybe he won't lose too much sleep over it. But he's going to be facing Cavan, I think, in the Ulster semi final. They had another turn up for the Bucks.
Yeah, they took the game to Monaghan from the start. They were unlucky enough in the National League. A lot of the games were narrow losses. But they have a manager, Mickey Graham, who had great success in Mullinocta. They've committed to attack. There was a bit of an energy about them. There was a big crowd there as well. Monaghan looked stale. First half, they were completely outworked and outfought. At half time, Monaghan regrouped, but you never felt, even though it was back to about 3 points, you never felt that Cavan were going to lose that game. So it's a great win for them, and they now meet Armagh in the semi-final. I think Oisin Kiernan's story resounds, Sean. He got diagnosed with testicular cancer before Christmas. He got two bouts of chemotherapy. He trained with the team as much as he could throughout the bouts. How he did, I don't know. He got the all clear in February and he started the game against Monaghan the other night. And Niall Kearns from Monaghan had a cardiac operation only a few months ago and he came on as well. And there are two role models that you want your kids to play GAA, to follow people like them.
And right. Also the moment of skill in the championship so far this year was Martin Riley's pass. I mean, it was 40, 50 yards into the hands of it. There was really, to watch it now, it was the moment so far. It's only three weekends old, but you'd have to put it out there as the moment so
far. Galway easing past Sligo to get into the Connacht final, no surprise there. That's pretty much the story of the weekend in Gaelic football for the championship.
Yeah, that's about it.
Sarah, let's talk about Cork Hurlers.
Oh Lord, I never saw it coming.
Had you lost the faith?
I wrote them off yesterday. I was working yesterday in Parnell Park and I had said, cannot see Cork coming through. I just thought they were so disjointed last week. I couldn't see them put all the jigsaw pieces together, and they did it again.
And to what do you attribute the transformation?
I suppose Mark Ellis for me at centre back was the linchpin yesterday. Last week he wasn't even in the stand. He was in the stand. He wasn't being considered. He played a football match by all accounts during the week.
For Mill Street, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And he was parachuted in centre back yesterday. And he was the difference, I thought. Now obviously Hoggies won 9 again.
Yeah, work rate actually, I think. They just outfought Limerick. Limerick haven't done much wrong.
Did they bully Limerick?
No. They harassed them and outfought them. But Limerick didn't respond to it in the second half. It's the first time in a long time that Limerick haven't responded to a challenge laid down.
I think it was a different game for both teams though. Limerick were coming in opening game, but Cork needed that win yesterday. They had two very different aspects to deal with yesterday.
There was probably an act of desperation there too, that their season really, really was on the line. So they
more
have
than
to,
that, careers in some instances.
Yeah, and they have to go. Yep. They have to go to Clare, which is not going to be easy. So there was really a lot at stake and a great reaction. And of course, the last four games, Limerick have yet to beat this Cork team after 70 minutes. Obviously, they took them an extra time, but Cork beat them in the league. They drew last year, and it took extra time in Croke Park. So really, Cork appear to be very, very much Limerick's equal when it comes to head to head.
I really enjoyed the scores, though. You know, there was a spread of scores yesterday. Daniel Carney, Seamus Harnady, Alan Cadigan coming back after his absence since 2017. They just looked really exciting.
Last week, I mean, Damien was warning us about, say, look, you know, we were talking about Tipperary as being potential champions, and now we have another team as potential champions.
Oh, Lord, they just make it so hard for us to follow them. Yeah, really
I
do.
I went behind the goals actually yesterday to watch that game, just for a different angle, and Cork took Limerick out of the rucks. They played a lot around the fringes and played into space. Limerick liked to gather in central positions, fight for the ball and fire it over the bar, but Cork disrupted that tactic. I think they did a Limerick on Limerick.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the Munster Championship, Tipperary again doing nothing wrong.
No.
Beating Waterford.
Doing fine. They lost a bit of momentum after half time in the conceded freeze. There's two things that they can work on. But Jason Foro got man of the match, and lovely to see his development coming through. Another game under the belts. When they find space and they get into a room, Tipper exquisite to watch. But Waterford did make it tough. In fairness, with 14 men, they did make it tough.
It's an incredible score that they posted. I mean, to score 230 in 70 minutes, hurling. I mean, the teams were reaching that score last year, but only after extra time in games of that standard. Between what you would say would be two evenly matched teams. So where hurling is going in terms of scoring, it's increasing every year.
Yes.
And attacks. I was actually looking back at the All-Ireland final last year just for some research last week. Four attacks in the first minute. It's phenomenal. It's so end-to-end. And maybe there's an issue there with the weight of the ball, and I know there's chips.
Now, Limerick going to Waterford in 2 weeks' time. So both counties needing, I suppose, to an extent, to rescue their summer.
Yeah, of course. It's
more so Waterford,
more so. Well, Limerick, I would say Waterford are literally hanging on by a thread now. So it's really down to Limerick to get the away win. And teams have been winning away so far this year. Unlike last year, the trend was that home advantage would count. But Tip have gone to Cork. Cork have gone to Limerick. And Clare have gone to Waterford to away wins every time. So that trend from last year has been reversed.
It's a great format. And Leinster's working well too. It's people criticise the amount of coverage hurling is getting at this time of year. But I have to say, it's justified at the moment. You know, the competition, the standard is good, both Leinster and Munster.
And yeah, it looked for a long time, but it looked at the death yesterday that there was going to be another away when you were in Parnell Park yesterday, Sarah.
Yeah, it was funny. The game changed three times in the last 15 minutes. So Dublin were up by 5 points. Wexford got two incredible goals, Roy O'Connor and Liam McGovern. And we thought that Wexford had done enough, and Mags Darcy was standing up next to me. Davy Fitz was down on the field trying to keep everyone calm. There was seven.
That's a first.
Yeah, there were seven Wexford lads on the line, you know, and Sean Moran steps up and he manages to hit the ball on the ground and it goes between seven players and nobody can find it.
It was a shocking free, Sarah.
It was
badly defended, so badly to be really disappointed with the way
Davy Fitz did say that afterwards.
They were 3 points down. Wexford, wasn't it? 3 points
five.
Down. But then when they were three down, Dublin had a really good goal chance to go six, and that might have really taken.
Should Dublin have won that game?
Paul Ryan couldn't get the ball out from underneath his feet for that goal, and that would have closed the game off. But then, you know, Wexford came up the field again and, as I said, got the two goals. I just, both teams kind of were shadow boxing for the first half, not deciding who wanted to win it, and then they started opening up the spaces.
It was a fair one.
Before we leave Leinster, Kilkenny, okay, everybody expected to take care of Carlow, which they did. Yeah. Is the ruthless efficiency back there?
Yeah, I don't think it. I mean, he rebuilt a team over the last two seasons. They were decimated with injuries for the first game. I think they're going to be right up there come the end of the season.
I think it'll depend on them getting back their goalkeeper, full-back, centre-back, who they've been missing. So that's really key to them, because they're very, very key positions
on all
Brian Cody teams. Yeah. But they've set themselves up nicely.
We've had two great weekends to start. Then Wexford going to Pier Stadium to take on Galway, last year's beaten finalists, next Sunday.
It'll be interesting to see how Galway set up against Wexford now, especially with Canning missing.
Yeah, because Joe took points from distance in previous clashes, and that not.
And Wexford are so physical, you know, that's
and
what
Galway
they
not
can
having
give
a match to be a bit like Limerick were yesterday, maybe just that would be the danger, that they would be slow to get out of the traps.
Well, they had Carlo last week. The teams that have missed out
on the first round, there's only been one winner, and that was Wexford. And there's been four teams in the 2 years that have missed out on the first round, and only Wexford have won a game. Any team that's come into the second round cold, if you like, has lost.
Mm. Now,
apart from Wexford, the draw, of course.
Rugby on Saturday, Leinster 24, Munster 9. Fair reflection.
Now, I suppose the only thing that you can take from it is that Peter O'Mahony, after the match, said, we're going in the right direction. If we hadn't got out of the group stages for Europe, and if we hadn't got to a domestic semi-final, I'd be more concerned. He said, we're missing that 1 or 2%. And obviously, with Felix Jones leaving and a new attack, a coach required, things will change in Munster over the summer.
Stephen Larkham has been linked with the job, but they need more creativity in attack. I mean, they're not short in many other areas, to be fair. They're right up there, but they're a bit one-dimensional, I think, going forward.
They seem to have just hit a ceiling, that they just cannot get semi-finals. By semi-finals in either competition, and they're certainly missing something. And there is some issue, obviously, in the background, that two coaches left didn't wait until the end of the season. So there's clearly something at play there. And looking at the performance on Saturday evening, they were never really going to get to Leinster. Just never really gone. I know Leinster got a late try, but Leinster always had something else in hand. And their record against them over the last decade is so much better. It was never going to be touched on Saturday.
They're away now to Glasgow, I think, in the final of the Pro 14. Glasgow did a fair job on Ulster on Friday night.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what team he picks. He got a fair flaking, Leo Cullen, for his team selection, and people were insinuating was Johnny Sexton dropped. I mean, of course, he was being rested, in my opinion, and will start.
Oh, I would think
the Pro 14
start.
Final.
Yes,
though.
Yeah, I would think, but you know, we were here last November. I was here last November. We were talking about how strong Irish rugby is, and it looks a lot more fragile six months on the back of what Saracens have done and the international team. So it is looking a lot more fragile. So
what I found interesting actually was Simon Zeebo getting his hat-trick again for Racing. He's just not going away, you know. He just keeps popping up. It would be nice if he was back in with Ireland. I think he'd add another dimension. It's just a pity he's out of...
And talk about other names, and we don't hear them mentioned as in the context of coming back to work with Munster. I mean, Paul O'Connell, Ron Nogara. Are they holding back? Are they waiting for something to change before they throw themselves at it?
Possibly. Certainly O'Gara said he's not going to take the Munster job. He's going to take it on his own terms, whatever that meant. But O'Gara especially is getting lots of offers somewhere. So I know he's trying to get this bank up a wealth of experience before he comes back to Munster, which looks inevitable at some stage. But you just don't know in professional sport. Will they go into a job if the terms and conditions are not right?
Yeah, but by the way, Leo Cullen saying that he's been told that Glasgow rugby fans all support Rangers, and he's hoping the Celtic fans in Glasgow will get behind Leinster. I'm just wondering, there'll be some support. It'll be a fair crowd travelling with Leinster. Maybe it's not as many as there were for the Saris match in Newcastle.
Look, I think a level of disappointment would be taken away if they did win the Pro 14. Obviously, losing to Saris is...
I heard Leo saying that he hoped that Celtic fans would show up. I seriously doubt that Celtic fans would go and watch a rugby match. Yeah, that's right under their noses.
I suppose the other thing is we see again, you saw it in Parnell Park, you know, it's never over till it's over, and talk about that, it happened in golf again. Brooks Koepka, he had a 7-shot lead into the final day. Yeah. He wins by two, and lucky that his main opponent had two bogeys.
He had a 6-shot lead on the 10th or the 11th and then had four bogeys in a row, and Dustin Johnson closes, and it would have been one of the great collapses. Greg Norman collapsed in the Masters back in 96, Rory McIlroy obviously in the Masters in 2011, and Jordan Spieth in the Masters a couple of years ago, but this would have topped a lot. But he held his nerve in the end, got the job done, and that's now four majors in his last eight.
And he's the first player to win his first four majors in 2 years or less.
Yeah, and he's a big hitter, but I don't know, does he still get the credit or even the respect from the golfing world? That
he's clinical and he's boring in some people's minds.
And remorseless.
Speaking of getting the credit, I mean, FA Cup final, 6-0 won by Manchester City, and people kind of shrug their shoulders.
Yeah, it's the money machine of Man City. They're getting a lot of flack, and their manager getting flack about payments made and spending made as well. It certainly wasn't one for the romantics. the level was huge.
Okay, look, my thanks to the three of you, Damien Lawler, Colm Keyes and Sarah O'Donovan. Just because his funeral is taking place in the next hour or so, Anton O'Toole, I was struck by a line in Colm O'Rourke. I'm thinking Eugene McGee again. Yeah. God arrest him. Colm O'Rourke's column, an old opponent of Anton O'Toole in those dubs, but he talked about how last week on Wednesday he said, Jerry McEntee and I went to see him, but he had already started on the long sleep. Either that, or he had decided he couldn't take any more thick mead men giving him hassle. Whatever way it was, the calm had come after a long, hard battle. May he rest in peace. And sympathies to his family, indeed all his friends.